for argument, United States versus Blue, Ms. Hickstein Foley.
May it please the Court, Donna Foley for the defendant, Olympia Blue. Your Honors, this matter comes before the Court on defendant's contention that her sentence cannot be considered reasonable when the district court unreasonably denied her 5K motion. In this case, the court...
What's with 5K motions after Booker? Yeah, this was covered in our second case. The whole idea of departures from the guidelines is gone. The question is whether a sentence is reasonable.
But the statute still allows for adjustments to that, to
the
advisory guidelines.
The statute is important to the extent it allows the prosecutor to make a motion to depart from a mandatory minimum sentence. But there's no longer any need for motions to depart from the minimum of a guidelines because they're not binding. And there certainly is no such idea as compelled departures. There's no such idea as departures anymore. They're certainly not ever compelled. The only question is whether the sentence is reasonable.
Your Honors, when the case law that has been coming down since Booker indicates that the guidelines must be considered by the district court in handing down a decision, and when the district courts, in fact, hand down sentences that almost invariably fall within the guideline range, the 5K motion is still an important consideration in balancing what is a reasonable sentence.
In what sense would you say this case is different from Laufel?
I think it differs from Laufel significantly in that in this case the district court indicated that to grant the departure motion was contrary to the active nature of Ms. Blue's participation in the offense and also would denigrate the seriousness of the offense. In Laufel, while the district court made similar comments as to that defendant, the district court also indicated that the defendant's assistance was not so substantial as to warrant the adjustment and that the convictions, he found that the convictions of the two co-defendants could not be attributed to the defendant. So there were specific findings with regard to the merits of the 5K, which didn't exist here at the time of sentencing. And I say that because the government pointed out in their brief that after my notice of appeal was filed, in fact, the court did issue a finding with regard to a co-defendant where the court commented on Ms. Blue's cooperation. And
but doesn't the judge have to balance cooperation against the other factors in 3553A? And so if he decides, you know, it's cooperation, but it's a very serious crime and he needs to be severely punished. Why is that unreasonable?
Because, Judge, I believe that in looking at the considerations that are indicated in 3553A, that and Congress has spoken on this, that the and I believe the Seventh Circuit has also, that 5K cooperation motions are a weighty consideration. And I would submit
that consideration, yeah, sure. But if the judge, but are you saying the judge always has to accept the government's recommendation?
Of course not. And I indicated that in my brief.
Well, why was it unreasonable to reject it here?
Because in this case, the court did not go to the merits of the 5K, and I submit the court needed to go to the merits of the 5K. in making a determination whether it was appropriate.
What does that mean, the merits of the fine?
Well, whether in fact...
Her lawyer didn't explain or the government didn't explain what the cooperation was?
In fact, the court never made a finding whether there was substantial assistance.
But did the lawyers explain how she had cooperated?
As I recall, they did, Judge, and in fact, Ms. Blewett testified.
So the judge heard what the cooperation was, and he weighed that against the other factors and found it wanting. Now, what's unreasonable about that?
Because that's not on the record. It doesn't indicate that he weighed the 5K factors. It just indicates that he believed the guideline range was the appropriate, reasonable sentence. And I believe
that we say that if a guideline sentence is presumptively reasonable. So, he didn't say enough? Is that your point,
Judge? I believe that he had to go to the merits of the 5K, which he did not do. It was not enough.
I don't think you're being precise. You don't mean go to the merits. You mean he had to explain more, had to say more. Isn't that your problem? He didn't say enough?
He didn't say anything about the 5K.
Well, then he didn't say enough. That's your view. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Reichert?
May it please the Court? The district court did address the government's motion for a sentence reduction based on Ms. Blue's substantial assistance. And in addressing that motion, the district court decided that he could not grant that motion because doing so would denigrate the seriousness of Ms. Blue's crimes. And there is no dispute in this case that those crimes were serious and they were numerous and they did a lot of harm. And they did a lot of harm that wasn't necessarily taken into account by the guideline calculation. For example, a victim testified at the sentencing hearing about the fact that because Ms. Blue used her identity in committing some of her crimes, this victim was not able to obtain a mortgage, and that is something that the guideline calculation does not take into account. And in addressing whether or not the district court could give Ms. Blue credit for the assistance she provided to the government, the district court said that doing so would denigrate the seriousness of her offenses.
What had you given as your reason for wanting to give her a lower sentence?
She testified at the trial of her co-defendant, Tanya Asbury, and explained in her testimony how the scheme was developed, how the defendants used the identities of victims, such as the person who testified at the sentencing hearing, to purchase a number of vehicles.
Of course, the judge at that trial suggested that Blue's testimony was perjured. Well, it's not clear why you want to reward that.
Well, following the sentencing hearing in Ms. Blue's case, remember, Ms. Blue filed her notice of appeal on August 25th, and on August 29th, Judge Holderman entered the order in which he said that Ms. Blue's testimony was not entirely credible. But that was the first time the district court made that determination.
You know, Ms. Rizek, it strikes me that the government finds itself in a very odd position in these cases. I mean, here you are defending the denial of your own request for a sentence below the guidelines range. I was really taken with page 13 of the red brief.
You are.
It's a very difficult situation to be in.
Well, Your Honor, what the government's position is, certainly we would prefer that district courts reward cooperating defendants for the assistance they provide. And that is true in this case as well. What the government's position is that even though the district court in this case did not give this cooperating defendant credit for her substantial assistance, the resulting sentence cannot be said to be unreasonable. And for the reasons that the district court articulated.
That's fine, but now do you tell these judges when they do things like that, look, you're interfering with our enforcement of the criminal laws, because if we can't give these people reasonable assurance of their cooperation discounts, they won't cooperate as much, and we depend on their cooperation. Did you tell that to the judges?
In this case, we did not state as much, no, but certainly that is a concern.
I mean, that's clearly the concern, but I wonder if it's brought home to the judges that it's not just a matter of, you know, looking at the sentence in this case, it's looking at what you're doing to enforcement in the future.
Well, certainly this court has said as much in a number of opinions.
Well,
that
this court has said that in cases like Zinkshine, where the prosecutor appealed from the refusal to give the downward departure.
But
in fact, we said in Zinkshine that the prosecutor could appeal and the defendant probably couldn't because the prosecutor was the aggrieved party.
But in this case, again, as you previously stated, the question post-Booker is the sentence that the district court imposed reasonable?
But it's going to be that in every case.
Oh, correct. Correct. And in this case, you know, the government cannot say that the sentence that the district court imposed, which is really a 29-month sentence, it was 46 months minus 503 days, which is approximately 17 months, is not an unreasonable sentence given the nature of the defendant's crimes. And the basis for Judge Holderman's decision was a 3553A consideration, meaning the seriousness of the offense, and that going below the sentence that the district court chose would denigrate the seriousness.
The alternative way to put that is that the defendant probably had a reward here. If the noises Judge Holderman was making suggests that otherwise she would have gotten a sentence at the top of the range.
Mm.
Instead, she got a sentence at the bottom of the range.
Well, that is one way of looking at it, certainly. In this case,
of course, it made things a lot easier if Judge Holderman had said that.
Well, the decision is brief, but however, I think it is quite clear that the reason Judge Holderman reached the conclusion he did was because he wanted to further the considerations that...
At least he didn't make any mistake about conditions in Liberia.
No, not in this case.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
Ms. Hickstein Foley, does she have any time? No,
I
you have anything? Okay, and you were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
Okay, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client, and the court will be in recess until 9:30 Monday.